with like a bologna sandwich eat every other day or some crap like that. Listen, education, not deportation.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Accra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill. Phoenicia and lots of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati. Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and
to hear?
Online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
Tune in WGXC's new Sunday morning schedule with the Reverend Kim Singletary and There's a Bright Side Somewhere every morning, every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. That's followed by the teens from Hudson talking about books they've read on Bound by Books after the local news at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., there's more teens. The Catskill kids from Clubhouse Radio are on at 10 a.m. with lots of music and talk on your community radio station, WGXC.org, 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of FET Press in Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend to taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's show has been recorded during the COVID pandemic of 2020. To follow social distancing guidelines and help flatten the curve, Mike and I will be continuing a remote recording with previous guests, zooming in from Kinsale, Cork, Ireland, my brother, Thomas Reid. As we discuss the songs and items that are helping us to get through the crisis that little bit better. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for being on the show, Thomas.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Great to see you again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You too, guys. You keep well.
Yeah. Doing our best. Well, I am. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
It's getting a wee bit... I've getting a wee bit of a cabin fever, I must admit. Stuck in the house most days, and if I'm not in the house and I'm out, it's just a quick run to the store and then back again. I'm not actually going out anywhere. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I rarely go out anymore. And when I do go to the store, I try to go really early in the morning, in the middle of the week, if I can, you know, like 6:30 a.m. And you know, at that time, small community, there might be three other customers in the store and a few people on hand to help. And other than that, I don't go out a lot. Although, you know, recently we've been walking our dog more with our neighbor. You know, I got to see my parents this last weekend, hung out with our friend and previous guest, Mark and Berwick, who I teach with. So I had dinner with him. And but, you know, trying to be good with social distancing. We're not hugging, not shaking hands, try to eat outside. And be responsible about things. I think we're fortunate in that we generally live in an area it's just not as populated as, like, you know, like New York City or some of these other places where there's just a lot of contact that you can't avoid.
Yeah.
What about you, Thomas? What's it like in Ireland?
Can I just say, it's good to hear that Mike's walking his dog more. His dog, could see a picture of his dog sitting there, crossing his legs, going, oh, he's up. Well, I've actually went back to work last week. So I'm out of the house most days now. And I'm currently in contact with people in the pub, the general public. And obviously you've been here, Andy, so you know that we live in the middle of the country. So
yep.
we're very lucky. We've got a big garden and we're 2 minutes from woods with endless walks. So,
wow.
Can't really complain.
So you're doing that a lot?
Yeah, and I'm going to the beach as well. The weather was nice for a couple of weeks there as well. So taking the kids to the beach. The kids are out most days, so can't really complain. So.
Good. That's great. So how's things in general, Thomas? The last time you were on the show was, I don't even know if your second kid was born.
Don't think so. No, actually, I was thinking about that. It was the summer of 2015.
Wow, 5 years ago? No way.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. So what's happened? What big things have happened to you since then?
Well, obviously you spoke about it there. My son Oliver was born in the February, just after that.
Cheeky wee monkey.
So, yeah, he is. He's four. He's four. He's keeping us busy. At the time, I think I was studying as well.
That's right.
But obviously,
did that study come to fruition?
I dropped it. I lost my house. Lost my marriage.
It was expected.
No. I graduated 2017, and I've actually been fairly lucky. I've got a good job and working in a drug and alcohol treatment centre.
Nah, it's no luck, mate. It's no luck. It's well earned.
You've got to be in the right. There is a lot of hard work, but you've got to be in the right place at the right time.
And you were. So that's.
And I was. Yes.
Yeah, you were.
I had a college professor that said, "Luck is when preparation meets opportunity."
Yeah,
I think that's true.
That's right.
Today, actually, when you graduate to be a psychotherapist, kind of recognized psychotherapist, I could practice as a psychotherapist, but you have to, you have to have conducted 500 hours of counseling, and then you're accredited as a bona fide psychotherapist. My accreditation came through today. So
congratulations.
You know a janitor.
So, I'm now out on my own, as they say. No, out on my own, but I'm a counsellor, a therapist. So.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you. Thanks.
Right, so Thomas, your first item that you would like to take with you on your COVID Catskill cabin getaway is art supplies.
Yeah, so I said art supplies because recently I've done some watercolors and working with chalks and stuff. Last year it was oil paints or acrylic, and obviously I like drawing, so I just take a variety of stuff because during the lockdown it's something that was really, I was getting enthusiastic about again, and now that I'm back at work, it's kind of I'm annoyed at myself that I've never done more than I bought stuff and never used it, those things there that I wanted to get done and never did, and I'm going to find it hard to get it done or to find time, because obviously when you're working you've got kids and...
Well, every time I spoke to you you were painting. But albeit the kitchen and the hallway.
different types of painting.
And a serious note, Mike, Thomas sent me a picture that he drew for me of Laurel and Hardy. So I'll show you it later on once we finish the show. It's beautiful. So
excellent.
Thank you. Thank you, Thomas.
It was I was the oil paint, sorry. It was the watercolours. I started doing a wee bit of watercolour paint.
Right.
So it was great. I was watercolours.
Very impressive. So
I'm glad you liked it.
Of course.
You know, all this talk about paint and colors and stuff, your first song that you're going to listen to at your on your Catskill Cabin Getaway is Golden Brown by the Stranglers.
Yeah. This song, this is a, you know, this song has been, it's been obviously, it was out in 90, it came out in 1982.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, I mean, I love music, you know, and I love different bands. And Stranglers were never a band I got into. It was never a band I got into at all. And the main reason is this song. I grew up listening to it. And at some point, this song, it signified sadness to me. And I didn't know why. Every time I heard that, I felt awful. I felt crap. And I felt, I turned it off. But at the same time, I knew it was a great song. I knew it was like, that is a... As soon as it comes on, the sound of it just... It makes me feel a certain way, and it's like, oh, what?
Melancholy.
Like, yeah, it's like, what a tune. But it makes me feel so sad, and I don't want to listen to it. And then I forced myself. It must have been about 5 years ago. I was like, I know I like this song. I just don't know why it gives me that effect or makes me feel this way. So I forced myself to listen to it, and every time I hear it, I put it on by choice. I love it.
Fantastic song, fantastic band. I've got one thing about the band that I can share with you both. I played a exclusive Glasgow venue in the late 80s, a place called King Tut's Wawa Hut. Played there twice.
Oh.
And, well, I was in there in the dressing room. There was a sign up in the wall saying the Stranglers had been here, and the Stranglers actually played the same stage I was on.
Wow.
So that was nice. Nice to know that.
Texture like sun lays me down. With my mind she runs throughout the night. No need to fight, never a frown with golden brown. Every time, just like the last, on her ship, tied to the mast, two distant lands, takes both my hands. Never a frown with golden brown. Golden brown, fine temptress, through the age. She's heading west from far away, stays for a day, never a frown with golden brown. Thank you.
That was Golden Brown by The Stranglers. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today on the show, we are discussing the songs and items that are helping us get through this crisis that little bit better. WGXE is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit wgxe.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Now, our guest is Thomas Reed. Thomas.
Hey. Hi.
Great song.
Oh, fantastic. I love it.
Now, the reason I'm going to bring this little bit up, Mike, you might have a little interest in this little bit. This band was known at the beginning of their careers as an influential punk band in Britain, England. And they, you know, this was 1982, 1981. And, you know, I found it quite interesting that both Thomas and you, Mike, picked a band that was influential in the punk era. And I'm wondering if the band that Thomas picked, the Stranglers, influenced the band that you picked, of which I will not name at the moment because we'll wait and see. But I found that interesting.
Yeah, so, could be.
So we shall move
obviously,
on.
Obviously, I don't know where it is, so it'll be interesting to see where it is.
Yeah.
Now, Thomas, your next item, or items... is fishing equipment.
You know, you can't go into the woods or go camping or without taking fishing rod or fishing line, you know, and be it fly fishing or be it bait fishing. Done it all, loved it all. And that just when you ask about going to the cabin, I just think of in the woods. Camping and with nature, and when I think of that, I just automatically think fishing. And if I go to these places and I don't fish, I feel as though I've missed an opportunity. Even though most times I go fishing, I don't catch it.
Yeah.
You would love Mike's cabin. There's a little river right next to it. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, isn't it, Mike? I don't know if there's a fish in that wee river.
There is just little. They're called creek chubs. It's kind of like big minnows.
Right.
But there are some creeks. I have caught brook trout and in some of the creeks in that area. And but you have to find them. Brook trout can be finicky, I think.
In what way?
They're really sensitive to temperature. They're really intelligent, and they get spooked easily.
Sitting there with a pipe and all that.
Yeah. I say, that gentleman is trying to snag one of us. Shall we carry on downstream?
Yeah. Fish with an English accent?
Yes. Well, that's how they are in the Catskills. But
that's how people do when they smoke pipes.
Yeah.
People sound when they smoke pipes.
Exactly. But yeah, a lot of world-class fishing, trout fishing in the Catskills, fly fishing, the Esopus Creek, I believe, and some of the other waterways.
We had a few stories from one of our previous guests.
That's right. Judd Weisberg.
Judd Weisberg. Classic story, the final cast, remember?
Yep, biggest fish he'd ever caught in the Catskills.
Yeah, mate. Thomas, you need to listen to Judd Weisberg. So
I think I did listen to it.
Said salmon fishing is a fishing of 1,000 casts, and it may be the 1,001st cast that you catch the fish.
Yeah, but I've never caught a salmon.
No.
Never
right, I've got a wee quiz here, a wee fishing quiz. I'm going to test both your knowledges. See how you do. All right.
This can be edited, can it? Right.
All right. So, when was fly fishing invented? Thomas, what's your guess?
1786.
Mike.
1820.
200 AD.
Wow. Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
Now, here's an easy question for you both. First on the buzzer, what are the two most popular fish the fly fisherman typically fishes for?
A trout and a salmon.
Correct.
Yeah.
Trout and salmon.
Although other fish are fished,
trout and salmon are the most popular fish. Fishermen typically fish for. well, fly fishing.
Well done, Thomas.
Another first on the buzzer question. There are two types of fly fishing. Can you name them?
Dry and wet.
Correct. Dry and wet.
Wow.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
So, wet fishing means you just dive into the water. You take a couple of cans of lager with you and you get drunk and you just fall in.
I got one.
No. It's what you do with the flies. So, depending, right? So, if you think about the weather, right? So, if it's a hot day, a lot of the fish are doing low, all right? So, if you're using a wet fly, that means that the fly goes into the water, and the leader on the line is weighted, and it goes under the water, and you slowly bring it up. So, the fly is coming up,
right,
and the fish comes up and gets it. Dry fly fishing, so it's a dry fly. So the line lies on the top of the water.
Ah.
And the fly lies in the water, and it sees it and comes up and gets it.
Ah, yeah. See. Now you learn something every day.
Cool. Yeah. The next song is Aliens Exist by Blink-182. And I was trying to think of...
That's your song, Mike.
Yeah, I was trying to think of how to segue into that. You know, we're talking about fishing, and I thought, well, you know, are these human abductions by aliens? Is it like they're fishing? You know, they're like, oh, we got a big one, you know, and oh, he's a Scot. It's weird that he's in New York, but hey, you know, we'll take what we can get. And, you know, so anyways, not a good natural segue. Sorry about that, guys. But it's... a song I'm going to be listening to, you know, in the past couple shows I've been talking about my interest in this recent UFO phenomena that's kind of been taking the news by storm.
I checked out the videos you were talking about the last time.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. I hope I've seen the right ones. It was like the kind of... the dots just kind of moving, is that right?
Yes.
And it was that was the pilots were kind of, they were focusing in on it, or they were,
was it, Mike, what was it called, the Tic Tac?
That was the description of one of them, the Tic Tac. The videos are Gimbal, Go Fast, and I can't remember the third video. But the Tic Tac UFO incident is... the Marine Navy pilot David Fravor in 2004 encountered this flying object, unidentified flying object, in the Pacific, I think off the coast of San Diego, that he described basically as like a 40-foot Tic Tac, I think it was. And that is seen in one of the videos by another pilot. After David Fravor got back to like the ship, another pilot went out to try to video this thing, and they were able to capture it on video. And, you know, of course, the videos that they've gotten, it's a little annoying and frustrating because there isn't a clear image. It's kind of blurry. Although, like, when you look at some of the other things in the videos, it's very clear. The clouds in the background are clear, but the object is not. And that, to me, is quite telling in and of itself. When you have, you know, world-class, highly trained Navy pilots, you know, they see it. It's caught on video, it's caught on radar, and you have, you know, dozens of these pilots, you know. So in and of itself, the video, you know, any amateurs can fabricate videos. But when the United States Navy says, our pilot saw this, we got it on radar, we got it on video, we don't know what it is, we don't even know how it works because it doesn't have flight services, it doesn't have a visible means of propulsion, and it's doing stuff that, you know, we just don't, like, that to me is a big deal. So... But it's all being, this initiative is kind of spearheaded by Tom DeLonge, and he was the lead singer of Blink-182 for a time. And Aliens Exist was one of the songs from their album, Enema of the State, back in 1999.
As soon as I saw that when I looked up, that gave me a chuckle. Enema of the State.
Now, this came out, I was going into 10th grade, 9th grade into 10th grade. So I was probably like 16 years old, 15 years old. And so it was, you know, I was at that age in high school where, you know, you're a kid and a lot of their music at the time was that punk pop rock and about being a kid and about being a teenager. And, And I think at that time in my life, though, when this song came out, I had checked out of the UFO interest club. I had lost my interest and, you know, taken enough classes, as I mentioned before, and shows. I'd taken enough chemistry and physics to know there's no aliens visiting the planet. That's, you know, they might be out there, but there's no way they're here. And then the Navy releases these videos and a lot of this stuff is coming to light. And it's like, oh, well, maybe they're really
maybe wrong.
It just goes to show that you haven't been to Glasgow.
Yeah.
If you'd have been to Glasgow, you would have been confident. You'd been confident there's aliens here.
I stand corrected.
Matt, can I just ask, is this 1999?
Yes.
Yeah, same year as my second song as well.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Well, that'll be a good connection.
Well, just before we go into the song, this is the second band of the punk rock era. You know, it'd be nice to sit down with the guys in the band Blink 182 and ask them if they ever heard of the Stranglers and have the Stranglers influenced you. Yeah. Interesting to find out.
That was Aliens Exist by Blink 182. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXE Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today on the show, we're discussing the songs and items that are helping us to get through this crisis that little bit better. WGXE is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXE.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Here on the show, we have Thomas Reed, brother of Andrew Reed. previous guest. Servant to mankind.
Aye, guys.
The next item that we're talking about, a metal detector.
Now, our good friend George put me in
coma.
He put me in touch with this show. He gave me this show to watch. It's called Detectorists. And it's the guy from The Office, Mackenzie Cook?
Yeah.
He directs and wrote the show. It's really, really good. And it's about this bunch of nerds who are metal detector geeks. And it's about their life doing that and, you know, their life beyond that and stuff like that. Really funny. So it's made me think I would maybe like a metal detector to see what I could maybe find, you know, take it down to the beach or something after people have been there all day. See if I can find some money or something.
You never know.
You never know, like a watch or a couple of rings or something. So I think I would, if I was in the cabin, I would like to have a metal detector just to kind of while away some of the hours of my day, just kind of about the part of the forest or the yard or something, just see what I can find.
If only this was the Rocky Mountain getaway, Rocky Mountain cabin, whatever, getaway. You might have found that $1 million treasure that they've just found recently in the Rocky Mountains. Did you guys hear about that in the news?
No.
There was an antiques dealer back in, I think it was 2009, 2010, during the Great Recession, to try to get people out and get people enthusiastic about something. This antiques dealer got, I think it was a bronze chest or something, and filled it with $1 million worth of gems and things. And he hid it in the Rocky Mountains and published a poem of clues. And people went out, I guess people died looking for this, and it was just recently found within the past week or so.
Seriously?
Wow. Yes, yeah. $1 million treasure chest.
And the guy or the person found it got to keep it?
Yes. Yep, he sent, the guy that found it sent the picture of the treasure to the guy. It says, the decade-old quest for hidden treasure is over. The millionaire who hid it says it was just found. A New Mexico art and antiques collector announced 10 years ago that he hid a chest containing $2 million in riches deep in the Rocky Mountains. He told people to go hunt for it. At least 5 people died while on the quest. Forrest Fenn, the man who hid the 42-pound bronze chest, said it had finally been unearthed over the weekend.
Can imagine being that guy who was like 1 yard from it, like
with
a metal detector, and you couldn't find it.
Oh, dude.
And you're like, all right, let's go to the pub. And you're a yard from it.
No!
That would be a sickener, wouldn't it?
Oh, crazy.
So anyway, that program, I recommend it to both of you. It's called Detectorists.
All right, thanks, Andy.
Made in 2015. It was really good. Now, let's get to the third song of the day, which is Thomas's choice. Thomas, what's your third choice? Second choice, rather. Third song.
Second choice. I'll tell you a bit of, you know, why I got into this band when I tell you the song. The song really is the title track of the album. And I thought I'd just pick that one, but it's really the album itself. It just kind of blew me away, really. It was phenomenal, fantastic. It was at a time, started listening to this band around about 2002. When I broke up with my ex-girlfriend, and my, you know, just, I was kind of not sure where my life was going, if I've been honest with you. So 2002, 2003, and I started getting into the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Just thought their music was fantastic. You know, I was working at the time, and I was working as a delivery driver, delivering liquid nitrogen and oxygen to around about Glasgow, and I remember just listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers out there, and there was a wee kind of CD player in my radio didn't work in my van. So it was, and it was mini discs at the time, so just, anyway. But I went to Camp America in 2004, and I'd been listening to the Red Hot Chili Peppers, By the Way album, and the Great Hits album. And when I went to the airport, I remember going to the airport on the day I was going to Camp America. I got myself, I was terrified. I was excited, but terrified. I remember going into the shop in the airport and I seen Californication there. And I remember it was reduced to a tenner at the time. I mean, these albums were usually about 20 quid. But I've not got that album. I'm going to get it. And I got it. And I listened to it the whole summer. I listened to that album, and I listened to Jack Johnson, Brushfire Fairy Tale, those two albums the whole summer. And it blew my mind, man. I just loved it. I mean, the album itself, you know, great songs, Scar Tissue, you know, All Around the World and Other Side, Porcelain. Every song was great. But Californication, the song itself, was phenomenal. That's my song, Californication. It takes me back just to the memories of that summer, because as I went to Camp America, and just the people I met and the experiences I had.
And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication. It's the edge of the world in all of Western civilization. The sun may rise in the east, at least it's settled in a final location. It's understood that Hollywood sells Californication. Control of population.
destruction leads to a viral flow, but it also breeds creation. An earthquake's out to a girl's guitar, that's just another good vibration. And tidal waves couldn't save the world from
That was Californication by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXE Acre. That's 90.7 FM. Today on the show, we are discussing the songs and items that are helping us get through the crisis a little bit better. WGXE is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXE.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Now, that was a good song, Thomas. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Great band, great album. Now, Thomas, have you heard of the Scottish band with a very similar name that was given the green light by the actual band?
Yeah, the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, it's a band with like four or five bagpipe players, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And they actually got permission from the band to actually play gigs and tour and stuff. And they gave them the green light.
So are they a cover band or do they just use that name and they do like regular bagpipe music?
I don't really know, to be honest with you.
I couldn't sit and listen to any of it. So I really don't. Can't stand bagpipes. Can't stand them.
I wonder what that would be like.
I used to go out with a girl once, right? Who could play the bagpipes and often did. And I knew that was, I knew this was not going to last.
Deal breaker.
Any time she would get arguing, she just had to pull that out and she would automatically win.
You know, Thomas, it's funny today during the show, you're reminding me a lot of my childhood, or at least, I mean, the show is reminding me of my childhood. A lot of these selections and, you know, Blink-182 from when I was in high school. I was in high school when the Red Hot Chili Peppers were really popular, you know, the early 2000s and late 90s. And one of my earliest memories of the Red Hot Chili Peppers was when they were on The Simpsons in 1993. I remember seeing them on that. And it wasn't, you know, at that point I was 8 or maybe 10 years old. So I wasn't really familiar with their music. So it's funny. I just keep kind of going back to these times as a kid and, you know, talking about your girlfriend playing the bagpipes, you have to pump them up, right? You have this big bellows thing that fills with air. Yeah. And well, the next item that I chose for this Catskill Cabin getaway was Reebok Pump running sneakers, and not quite a bagpipe, but also kind of from my childhood. And they came out in 1989, and as a kid, I just remember thinking these things were so freaking cool. And I don't know what it is. And I actually, now that I'm an adult, I bought a pair finally, like for myself. I wanted.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Is that the ones where the basketball was on the tongue?
Yes.
And you pressed the basketball and it pumped them up.
That's right.
Pumped up. Is it the sole that pumped up or the tongue? I can't remember.
The tongue and depending on the sneakers you got, like sometimes the shoe itself, I don't know what part of the shoe that would be called. Not the sole, but like the sides would pump up. But it basically just creates a really snug, kind of a comfortable fit.
Do they still exist?
Yeah. Yeah, I just bought some a couple of years ago. I have running sneakers, and I also have just like casual high-top sneakers.
I had a pair. I remember I had a pair.
No, yeah, no kidding. I remember thinking they were so cool, but they were really expensive. Like $100, $120 bucks you know, back in the early 90s.
I stole mine.
Are you serious?
No, I'm kidding.
Because people did. Like, I that was in the news in the early 90s. Like, a dude got mugged in New York City, and they took his sneakers. You know, that kind of stuff really
happened. It's a big business.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some quiz questions about sneakers and sports companies and stuff.
Yeah.
So, right. What company, well-known sports company, their original name was Blue Ribbon Sports. Who was that? Thomas?
Nike.
Correct. Nike.
Wow. Nice.
And they first proposed the name of Dimension 6 for their name, but they settled on Nike. So there you are.
Probably just as well.
Now, Mike, question for you.
Yeah.
Now, Jordan's sneakers, is that the name of a sneaker? Jordan's?
Air Jordan's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Air Jordan.
Yeah.
They're always released on a particular day. And why?
I know this.
I don't know. Tom's take it away.
Right, I don't. Is it the 23rd? I don't know.
When I say a particular day, I mean a day of the week.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant a date?
No.
A Saturday?
Yes. Why?
Because that was when game was.
No. Whenever they release a new Jordan sneaker, they release them on Saturdays so that kids don't skip school to go and get them.
No kidding. Well, that's really compassionate. I was going to say, you know, people have gotten their paycheck the day before, so they have some money to spend.
Right, Mike, here's one for you.
Yeah.
Seinfeld owns over this amount of pairs of mint condition sneakers. How many?
Oh, 500.
Over this figure.
Over 500.
Thomas?
1,000.
50 pairs of mint condition white sneakers.
Oh, that's not as many as I thought. Okay.
Now, Kurt Cobain died wearing a pair of black suede Converse 1 sneakers. Did you know that?
No.
And Converse created a line of Cobain-themed kicks.
Jeez.
Sad, eh?
Yeah.
Here's one that's interesting. I actually knew this before I actually wrote this down. In New York State, the prison service, no prisoner is allowed to wear Nike Air or similar type of sneaker, because razors and drugs can be stored in the hollowed out hole in the soul's air bubble.
There's some pretty beefy shoes.
Funnily enough, Converse weapons can be worn because they are not actually weapons.
Good Lord.
Who throws the shoe?
What is that from?
Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah.
Who throws a shoe? Remember, it was supposed to be Odd Job, but it was
random
task.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. That's good.
That was funny. Now, so, Mike, your sneakers, have you still got them, mate? Yeah.
Yep. I still got them. I just wore them the other day. Just wore them yesterday. I run in my the running shoes, and I wear the other ones casually. And then, you know, they're pretty comfortable, and I probably look like an incredible dork. I'm sure that my wife is
embarrassed.
Some part of her, yeah, she's embarrassed. And but, you know, I've gotten to that point in my life where I think...
Embarrassed is okay?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've given up. And, you know, I feel bad. I feel bad for my wife. And, you know, I'm throwing in the towel and throwing on the pumps.
Well, let's hope you don't go to jail because you won't be able to wear your Nike Air.
No. Reebok. Oh, yeah. Nike Airs. Yeah.
Right. So we're down to the last song.
And speaking of sneakers.
Go on, Mike.
The song is Walk On by Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Yes. Now, I picked that song for two reasons. First reason is...
Not nine reasons, Andy, no?
Nine reasons, yeah. First of all, I want to give a big shout out to all Celtic fans around the globe and to the Celtic football team. Congratulations for winning nine in a row in the Scottish League. Fantastic achievement, and let's hope we can go on and win 10 in a row. So that's the song that I want to play. Beautiful song. And it's the theme, the anthem of all the fans in the stadium. Beautiful sight when all the fans have got their scarf above their head singing this song. It's unique. It's not to be... there's no other club can come close to the Celtic fans in terms of atmosphere when they're on song. So congratulations to Celtic and their fans for nine in a row, of which Thomas and I are one of them. Yeah. And George. So that's that. But I also want to a shout out to a guy. I'm not going to name any names, but a guy on Celtic Minded who I was contacted by and I spoke to briefly. His friend is 43-year-old and is dying of cancer, a Celtic fan, and I want to dedicate this song to him. Hold your head, look high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a goal.
That was Jerry and the Pacemakers, You'll Never Walk Alone. Also, 60,000 plus people, Celtics fans. Congratulations again to them on their undefeated season, gentlemen.
Not an undefeated season, but they won the league.
Won the league. Nice. Well, congratulations.
For the ninth season in a row.
Ninth consecutive season.
Okay, I understand. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, we've come to the end.
And as I always say, Mike, we could talk for hours, but we can't.
Yeah.
But before we go, usually...
I think Mike's just saying that we have just spoke for hours. Yeah. And I'm going to be sitting here cutting for hours.
Yeah. The editing process is going to be lengthy. So... Thomas, thanks again for being on the show with us. It was great seeing you again and catching up a little bit.
Yeah, you too. Good to see you.
Great to see that you're doing well.
Now, we've got one more question, Thomas. And that question is, Mike?
Thomas, how do you take your coffee now?
Well,
we don't want a thesaurus, Thomas.
All right, I kind of remember what I said the last time. But generally, I'll take my coffee with a small spot of cream and one shoe.
Now, what kind of coffee do you like these days?
I'm drinking a Badger and Dodo. It's a French roast, and there's a flavour to it, and it's called Jam Jar. It's like kind of sweet.
Interesting. So Badger and Dodo is a coffee house?
It's a roaster.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You've actually had some.
I do remember that, actually. Was that in the little place in Cork?
Yeah,
I do remember that. Fantastic. Well, Thomas, it leaves us to say one more thing. Thanks for coming on. And
my pleasure.
We'll speak to you soon, mate.
Yeah.
Take care.
Take care. Thanks, guys. Hi, I'm Thomas Reed, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon and Billy from the band White for the theme music. To everyone at WGXC, thanks again.